Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Here ends our gospel reading.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I shared with the children during our children's message, we hear in this passage, this famous passage where Nicodemus sneaks to see Jesus in the middle of the night, about how the cross is a sign of our healing, of our redemption, just like the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness so that the people who had been bitten by the snakes that had been sent on them could be healed. It's this miraculous story of our spiritual, eternal healing, in which we are born not just in our physical, earthly body, but we are reborn from above by the grace of God. This is good news. In this passage, we have our kind of one of our most famously quoted verses, especially from the Gospel of John and arguably some of the whole New Testament, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Now, show of hands, who has seen this verse printed on one poster or another at a football game? A baseball game? Hockey stadium? What about any fans of professional wrestling in the 90s, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Austin 316? You guys remember that? Oh, just me, okay. yes, John 3:16 is widely quoted as kind of summing up the whole of the Christian message. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Powerful. Powerful indeed. But this week, as I was meditating on this passage, I kind of got hung up more on the last verse, John 3:17. It says, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I was struck by this because oftentimes I think our focus as Christians gets misplaced, especially as Protestants in the United States. Now, I'm not accusing anyone in our pews here of being televangelists and street corner preachers who use the Bible as a weapon to beat people over the head into conforming their lives to standards of righteousness and whatnot. I'll do that later. But these images are probably quite common to us in the United States, especially as Protestants, right? I imagine you all have heard one Christian or another speak words of judgment from their place of faith. And judgment not just to other Christians, calling our brothers and sisters to accountability, the words and teachings and instructions from our shared scriptures, but to everybody, right? It's probably no secret all around Flathead Lake, emanating from Heidi's very own Flathead Valley up north there, that there are Ten Commandment signs outside of many churches, houses, and businesses. I believe the person who pays for all those is out of Columbia Falls. So I think they're Creston area more. But anyway, that's a call that everybody kind of conform their lives to the biblical standards that we are given in Scripture, specifically through Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, as well as Jesus' instruction in the New. But the power of the gospel is not in our righteousness, but in God's faithfulness, in God's love. God's love beyond our failures, God's love beyond our sins, God's love beyond our failings, our weaknesses, our imperfections. Now, this is a simple but very profound truth, especially captured in 3:17. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God did not come to stand preaching judgment on street corners and through posters and protests and whatnot. God came to save. God came to love. God came to redeem. I don't share this as just a word of judgment to others live out their faith differently than I do, but rather to call us to that the point of the gospel is to focus on what God is up to in our lives. God is not a God who is known by judgment, but by redemption. He's not known by wrath and hatred and rebuking and shouting down everybody who disagrees, but by love, forgiveness, grace. Now, oftentimes, our examples that we receive in, dare I say, the media, public servants of the gospel, is far more formed by judgment and contempt, discrimination, hatred, prejudice, things like that, than it is exemplified by our Savior, whose love is shown supremely on the cross. It's a powerful witness. That is the heart of the gospel, and is captured so well in John chapter 3 here. I've shared before that when I tell people I'm a pastor / preacher, I usually introduce myself as a pastor, but I get kind of weird reactions. I've shared before about the sort of ageist reactions that I get. What? You're a pastor? You're too young to be a pastor. Thanks. What does that mean? I don't know. But just as common a reaction I get, probably the most common actually, is after initial shock that I maybe don't look like the typical 65-year-old pastors that seem to dot the landscape anymore. Carl, you're exempt. You're older. So. as people clam up and check their language, as though I'm just the divinely ordained swear police. That's right, as though God has called me through seminary, through Bible study, through learning ancient languages to make sure that nobody drops F-bombs anywhere, ever. Or just takes the Lord's name in vain or anything like that. More than my call to preach a word of forgiveness, more than my call to teach the good news and to instruct people in the Bible, I swear most people out there just think that my number one priority is to make sure that nobody says a word of profanity ever. That I'm out there to get you. I'm out there to get you, get you, get you. How dare you act like a sailor around the pastor? It's kind of interesting, right? It's like, as though that's the thing that God is most concerned about. And yet, it seems to be the reputation that is out there that surrounds clergy. That we are just focused on all these little minute aspects of good conduct, right? That we dress well, that we speak well, that we are good and proper in the box. Now, I do not really endorse people swearing all the time or, you know, being lewd and debaucherous in their conduct or anything like that. And yet we also hear in our gospel, especially from John chapter 3, that God is far more concerned with the deeper things of our lives. God, I dare say, does not care as much about the brokenness of our little words we will say here and there in a bout of anger or when we drop something on our toe or something like that. God is concerned with the brokenness of our world. God is concerned with the deep hurts, the yearnings, the loneliness, the hopelessness that is out there. God did not send the Son into the world to speak a word of condemnation, but instead to speak deep, powerful, profound words of hope and love. How dare we as Christians ever lose sight of that, as we so often do? The Son was sent into the world to show you love, to show you mercy, to show you grace. From 2,000 years ago into thousands of years into the future. And that is the good news we hear from John chapter 3. And we will always cling to so powerfully, and especially every time we look to the cross on which our Savior was lifted up for our healing, both now and forever. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.